perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight.
And welcome to episode 216 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons at www.patreon.com/grills. I am Ray, and I'm joined by my co-host Ember.
Hello.
And Linda.
Hello.
And today's topic, I totally moved, but we're actually spoiling Dune. So it's a Dune episode. Hopefully you like Dune. I'm not actually spoiling you, but there will be spoilers ahead. I probably spoiled you previously in other episodes. Let's speak no more of that. Anyway.
That's what I remember about Dune is despise.
That is an important part.
A very important part.
So, what have you all been up to?
Well, Linda, you're going first. What?
Sure, I'll go first. I was trying to look at Twitch, but it's being silly. So I've been Christmas crocheting. I have gnomes. I have this gnome, aww, which is very much like my little gnome on my my fake fireplace back there. So it's a red little skirted gnome with a green hat, gold trim, and I also have this green gnome with a white hat with a Christmas tree on it.
Aww.
And red hair. And I have made... Come here. I have made a Grinch scarf.
Oh, that is so cool!
So he's got his little Santa hat on. It's got a fluff ball at the end, which is lovely for tossing around your neck, I have found, because I tested it and I put it around it and I was just like, hi-ya! it's got a nice little weight to it to just fling around your neck.
Excellent.
So, cool. You have to send me a picture of that for our audio listeners.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually working on a second one right now. So I've got it almost, the scarf part almost done, and then I have to make his eyes and his little frowny eyebrows. I tried to make, like, the inspo pic I found, he had a embroidered mouth, but I tried to embroider his mouth like 4 times, and every time he just looked either like really grumpy, it didn't look like a smile, or he looked like a gremlin, and I was just like, he doesn't need a mouth.
The eyes say enough.
The eyes have it, you know? That's all you get. So I was just like, nah, I'm not going to spend any more of my brain power on this.
Yeah.
And then I also plan on making a silver or gray and white gnome. So I might make a blue and white one too if I have the time. I don't know. I have to have this done by Friday.
If you do a blue and white one, I will buy it. Because that's like the anniversary colors we use because we get married on the solstice.
Nice.
That would be a cute little thing to have as a present.
We'll see if what I can get done. I also made some felt flowers. They look far more impressive than like it was to make them because they're... I got these... Actually, my mom got these from like Michael's. It's a little like kit, but you roll the felt, and I've made a couple of little roses and a mum. They claim that this is a mum, so I have a little orange mum here, and then a red and yellow rose. So those were kind of like, it was nice to take a moment from crochet and just be like, I'm rolling felt now. Okay. Nice and simple. And of course, I had family time because it was Thanksgiving. So we had, you know, good food, and my dad's side of the family, granddad brought some of my grand's Christmas jewelry for us to, like, go through. So that was a little tough, but it was okay. And then I decorated with my mom. I have, as of today, I have decorated 4 Christmas trees.
Wow.
two at my mom's house, mine, and the work Christmas tree. And it is not yet December 1st. Mm-hmm. It might be by the time this is published, but...
I would say I'll be proud of myself if I bring my little goth Christmas tree down.
And I also got my booster shot this weekend.
Yay.
So I can confirm that getting your third shot is indeed, you know, the second shot was like getting hit by a semi-trailer, and this one was like getting hit by a milk truck. Can confirm. Because I was able to put up my Christmas tree while dealing with the after effects. I had to sit down and lay down every once in a while because I did have a low-grade fever. It was just the booster shot doing its thing. So I was just like, I feel like, all right, put the tree together. Let me lay down for a second. Okay, I get up. I'm going to program the timer. Plug everything in. Okay, I'm going to go lay down again. So it took me a little bit, but I was okay.
Well, that's good.
That's good to know.
Yeah, Rob got his. He just got a sore arm, and he felt weird for a little
while. Mine is still sore. Like, I got mine Saturday, and it still feels like there's a bruise there.
But yeah, mine is more sore than the first two, and it kind of discolored when I got it. But I didn't have any other nastiness, so that was good.
Yeah.
So let me see. I did that Bob Ross painting class, and that was lovely.
Yay.
We made winter scenes, and we did a really good job. And then I won Bob Ross trivia and got a painting by the artist who was holding the class, which was neat. Mm-hmm. And then we did karaoke on Saturday. We were going to go to Digital Noir, DJ Spider's thing, but our friends, Jamie and Brandon, are going off on a new adventure where they're going to be doing, I forget what it's called, where you deliver stuff for people. Like, they have a truck and they have a motorcycle and drive cars somewhere or move big stuff and then get a job there and go somewhere else, you know, kind of thing. Just, that's what they decided to do. Jamie's leaving her job at the brewery, and Brandon stopped wherever he was working, and they're going to go on this adventure, traveling around, delivering things. So I made 1.5 pounds of jerky, and we went to karaoke, and I was, here you go, road rations.
Yay.
Seemed like the right thing to do, because Brandon really likes my jerky. What else? Oh, and I've made summer sausage, which has been an epic adventure, and I don't know what I'm doing. First time I did it, I have 3 different kinds of casings. I'm trying them all to figure out what I like. A piece to my stuffer got lost in between making and grinding the mixture after, and then the right ingredients, and then grinding it a second time, and there was a piece missing. And I've written to the manufacturer and the people it was ordered from, and it can't be replaced. And then there's another part of it that the dog ate, but that's a stuffing tube, and that's the size I use for the Polish and Italian. So I got to figure out a solution for that before I make that again, but I could use the bigger tube for the summer sausage. But it was all kinds of new things, because, like I said, different kinds of casings, and then these hog rings with special pliers to kink on the ends, and it takes so much time. Like, compared to the other stuff, you just, you know, you stuff it, and then you smoke it or not. This stuff has, you gotta mix this stuff in, and you let it sit a day, and then you gotta grind it again, and then it's gotta sit a day, and then because of the lost parts, I froze the mixture. And then we found a part So I thawed it, and then I was looking through the rest of the instructions, and I had to smoke it, and then for a certain amount of time, and then it has to come up to another temperature, and it's not done yet. So my husband is downstairs while I'm recording, checking for when it gets to temp, and then it has to go in a cold water bath till it gets down to a certain temperature, and then it has to sit out hanging, or we're going to put it on a rack, we don't have anywhere to hang that stuff, for a couple hours while it blooms. And then it has to sit in the fridge for like 24 hours before you even try it. So hopefully it worked, and hopefully it's good. And then next time will be a little easier because I know more what I'm getting into. And of course we did, you know, Thanksgiving stuff. I made a ton of food. I'm still eating leftovers. I delivered plate to a friend after dinner. And that was nice. She was very grateful. And I got more pie orders already, so.
Yay!
Yay. Christmas pies will be next. I might skip doing a Christmas feast. I might just go Christmas Story and bake all the pies for all the people that ordered pies and then have fucking Chinese food.
It's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what have you been up to, Ray?
We visited both sets of parents. Because I had days off of work, I actually got in the kitchen and I made a buffalo chicken pull-apart bread, which I had been like, I forgot. I'd put it in my memories and like a saved, like, I want to make this tasty thing at some point. And it came up like 3 days ago in my memories, and I'm like, oh yeah, let me put you down so I could do that. Turned out very good. I have a dangerous addiction to buffalo chicken occasionally. Like, I just get the craving and it's like all I want for like a month, and I'm like, nope, okay, I'm good, no more. So we're in the middle of that month right now. And then I made way too many mashed potatoes. I haven't even broken into the 10-pound bag from ATE. Is just the potatoes that I had lying around the house.
Oh, I see. You also had the great potato wing like we had at Gardens that one time.
You know, lass, at least I'm Irish. It's in my blood. All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody, for that. But
can I tell you the awful thing that happened to me today? I forgot. I had to get car work done, and that wasn't bad. Oil change. I caught my brakes before I scored my rotors, got, you know, just a couple $100 for all my pads replaced. And this young guy who checked me out was like, oh, you're back. I didn't get to tell you before, I forgot, but I really like your hair. I'm like, oh, thank you. My grandmother had blue hair too.
Oh.
<Kill me. laughs> Dude!
You could have just stopped.
Really?
Just stop it.
Shit.
I get it, but...
Come on!
You could have done that so much better. Like, either you could have stopped at, I liked your blue hair, or you could have said, it reminded me of someone I knew. Or something like that.
Right?
Reminded me of someone I know. Or ugh. Something.
Family members has awesome blue hair.
Yeah.
Oh,
how to offend a stranger.
Right? I was going to ask to see the rest of his neck tattoo, and then I didn't. I should have just showed him my back. She have this? Yeah, no.
You might have. Sounds like a pretty cool grandmother.
It probably wasn't blue, though. It was probably blue, like old lady blue hair. They put the toner on their gray, and it turns blue like my Aunt Lagarda had.
I would like to imagine it's a punk grandmother myself.
That would be nice.
But so I made way too many mashed potatoes, so any locals need mashed potatoes, please. Please
croquettes. Help me. Make croquettes.
It's like I saw that other bag and like Scott's like, hey, why don't you make latkes? I'm like, ooh. I've never made latkes. That sounds delicious. I have so many mashed potatoes to eat first. Then we can try and make latkes. And then, because it was also a holiday, I actually got to watch TV. Hooray. So I caught up on season 2 of The Great, which is on Hulu. It's based very loosely, extremely loosely, off Catherine the Great of Russia. And her Peter is like this weird combination of Peter the Second and Peter the Third. But he's a dick and kind of the awful himbo. And it's just fun because now he's like realized that he's actually like cares for her and is trying to win her back and be like, no, baby, I've changed. I've gotten so much better. Come back to me. That was my awful stuff. Same from South Park. And it's just great because just the push and pull of that toxic relationship. And then, of course, like all the other court drama that's going on, which is completely like they even fixed the tagline before it was an occasionally true story or something like that. Now it's just kind of like The Great, vaguely based on. So at least they know. And then while I was mashing potatoes, I didn't really want to watch anything I have to pay attention to and care about. So that was Tiger King season 2, which I will save you the trouble of having to watch it. It's 5 episodes. It's not nearly as intriguing because you know all the awful things. The one character, he's not a character, he's an awful groovy pedo jerk face. That they talked about in season 1, they give no update on. It's basically an extended, like, where are they now? And at one point, you think, like, maybe the documentary is going to change because they really, like, address, like, oh, this documentary had repercussions. Like, there was this whole Save Joe Exotic hashtag going around. They were at the insurrection with their, like, Free Joe Exotic. They had set up a meeting with Donald Trump to talk about freeing Joe Exotic, and the insurrection happened, and he got COVID and had to cancel, and I'm like, oh, thank God for the smallest of miracles. And I thought they would talk about Carol Baskin's, like, the mystery of did Carol Baskin kill her husband? No, but they don't really address it, which I thought that was something that, like, came out in the news that, oh, he's just alive in Costa Rica or dead in Costa Rica. But, like, nobody ever says anything. They just talk about, like, oh, everybody hates Carol because of our documentary. I'm like, yeah, you guys put her in a terrible light.
Yeah.
That's the repercussions for actions, but they don't really... They show it, but they don't really engage with it. They're just like, oh, yeah, well, this documentary is all about how bad it is for big cats out there. I'm like, no, no. Not even a little. You're not Blackfish for big kitties. I'm sorry. Blackfish, by the way, fantastic documentary about whaling. And, yes. So, you know, unless you really care about the fallout of Tiger King, I wouldn't really even say bother with it. It's not really worth it. Poor Saf. I still want to give Saf all the hugs. That was the Saf's the one who lost their arm, and it's totally not cool. And I started live-action Cowboy Bebop, which, it's not the animated Cowboy Bebop, and that's fine. It's its own thing that is also Cowboy Bebop, so it's alright, we'll see how it goes. Because I started the live-action, actually started rewatching Cowboy Bebop, because it's been, like, decades. And we got caught up on Hawkeye, and there's a LARP episode.
Yes.
Next episode.
That
I
was
have
fun.
Conflictions. That was me. It's a lot of TV and cooking.
Yes.
Fair enough.
That's what Thanksgiving week is for.
The things I don't get to do on the daily.
I actually watched the Macy's Parade.
Oh yeah, we did too.
But I didn't have an official feed because Peacock wouldn't work.
Oh.
So I missed the Blue's Clues thing.
Aww.
And I was so sad that I missed it.
Yeah, my parents still have cable, so I was over there early because I went to their house on Wednesday night with all my stuff so I could help cook.
Nobody in my house cares about it, so I just I put the Chromebook in the kitchen while I was cooking and was watching.
Yeah, it was the the three hosts on the float doing a song together. And my mom was like, "So which one was yours?" I was actually a little too old for Blue's Clues when it came out, but I remember Steve. And yep. Then she was like, is the blue one the newest one? Because I was like, yes, the one in blue is the newest one. Because I don't remember. It's like Steve, Joe, and whoever the new one is, the or whatever.
Yeah, I was. I only saw the new guy because I was watching a different part of the route, and I was like, okay, I guess there's a new guy after Joe. And then I found out that happened later. I was like, oh, I really would like to have seen that because I did have kids of an age when Steve and then the Joe transition, then they all kind of grew out of it. But
it's probably still on.
Yeah, I got to see. Somebody posted it on Twitter, and I got to see it. And I like Steve. I kind of followed his punk rock band stuff for a little bit.
Steve is Steve's OG pretty host, cool. So...
Did you know he married Luna? Like, the big comfy couch clown?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's really adorable.
That's ridiculous. Like... I used to have a Dust Bunny plushie.
Okay. So, topic. Dune!
Should I crochet a sandworm with a Santa hat for Winterfest?
Oh my gosh. That would be so cool.
Somebody would like it. I'm sure.
I think it'd be pretty easy. Hold on. Keep talking. I'm going to Google...
sandworm/Google.
I have to make sure it's not the Beetlejuice sandworm.
the last link I added, which is probably like an hour or so before recording, is literally something my husband had just watched and posted on Facebook. It's just two guys going back and forth between like 1984 Dune movie and 2021 Dune movie.
Oh, neat. I'll have to watch that. Rob might just, be interested, like, too.
Yeah, because they're just talking about, like, they're just kind of comparing it and being like, whereas the 2021 movie, I kind of know more about the plot and everything, so now I could go back and watch 1984 and kind of process it a little bit more and also still be entertained by the weird Lynch-isms of your
first time. Yeah, there's a lot of that. So... in preparation for the show, I had already watched the new one, as Ray and I discussed on a previous show, but I went to watch it again and didn't realize that it had fallen off of HBO Max. You cannot see it anymore on HBO Max. You would have to go to the theater to see it again. And I was like, well, damn, because I really loved it. Like, I was going to watch it again, but you can't anymore because they did that weird... parallel theater release, but then they took it off HBO Max after a month. So I missed it by like 5 days or something. So we watched the 1984 one, which I haven't seen since 1984.
Yeah, I also recently had watched the 1984 movie after I'd saw the 2021, because I'm like, I don't remember 1984. Like, I remember bits, so...
And there was a lot I was trying to be like, okay, there's a lot of, it's a David Lynch film, right? And that tells you something. But, I mean, not so much. I mean, it is the same story. There's a lot of really bad acting. Just bad. And the combat choreography is terrible. And, like... they did such a great job with the sandworms and the ships and those things, but I was just, like, taken back to, oh my gosh, special effects were really this bad in 1984. Like, our technology has become so amazingly advanced. Like, all the trippy stuff that they tried to portray, and the lightning is just nightmarishly bad. I just tried. Oh, it's like, oh. Yeah, these are the tools they had, but there were decisions. There was one that I think Lynch must have made this decision. It was a terrible idea, and I'm sure in the books it was really cool to describe, you know, they kind of describe in the narration, like, how spice is traveling without traveling and how it enables space travel by wormholes, basically. But, like, they took that wormhole thing a little too literally and had the weird mutated creatures from the spice that were running the space guild.
Yeah, the navigators.
But when they tried to actually portray that visually, they should have just left it out. That's what they did in the new Dune. You could just leave that. We get it. Trying to portray it visually with 1984 special effects was painfully weird. And coming from me, who's, you know, I've watched Eraserhead a whole bunch of times. Like, I am an MST3K fan.
I think they left that out of the miniseries as well. Like, I'm pretty sure, because there was the sci-fi miniseries. That was the one that I remember watching.
It's also been a long time, because that was early 2000s.
Yeah, early 2000s. And I believe they left that part out.
Yeah, which is a good
choice.
There
are some things that don't translate mediums. There are things you can say in books that don't translate over to, like, visuals.
Yeah.
Not well.
Yeah, and the whole thing with the navigators is they need the spice, because the spice, like, extends your life, expands your mind, so you can make calculations. So they're calculating how to get from point A to point B without crashing into planets and killing everybody.
Yeah.
So it kind of mutates them along the way. Like, eventually Paul is going to go blind. Like, that's going to happen because of so much spice that he just gets in his system. And this blue Scalera, it's just, he's not going to be able to see anymore. And he'll literally be a blind messiah of death and destruction throughout the galaxy. Hooray!
Hey!
Another thing, spoilers, though.
That was really funny to me because I only knew from other people who have actually read the books, because the new one isn't very clear on the whole... Was it Mon Mothma or whatever the name? The desert mouse that he takes his name from?
Yeah.
And it was just kind of hinted at, and they haven't really gotten to that part of the story in the new one so much. They just have shown those desert mice a few times. But this whole prophecy about the second moon and that moon having Pikachu on it, like, that's... I watching the old one again after all these years, I didn't think about it, and I was like, oh, the mouse is actually, like, on the moon. I was just watching this, and as soon as they showed that first shot of the second moon, I was like, Pika-pi! And I was like, what? I was like, there's a Pikachu on the moon! He's like, oh my gosh, it is. It's like the surprise Pikachu with the O face. Ooh! So then they're like, I couldn't stop seeing it. And then there was, like, he was actually taking his name from the mouse and the moon. I was like, well, that explains all the lightning with the worms, because it's an electric mouse. And I couldn't stop whenever they started chanting his name. I was like, Pika, Pika.
When I rewatched the 1984, I remember, like, I gasped when they turned on the shields, because they're just... like, it's cutting edge for 1984, I'm sure, but the boxy wall...
Oh, yeah.
...shield the thing shield. Was just so awful. It was like... I was like, am I watching Reboot? No, Reboot is later, and intentionally, like, CG, like, weird and supposed to be. I was just like, oh, ow. I understand. Like, this is kind of like watching old Tron and... But, oh, God, it just doesn't hold up.
Yeah, no, I don't, even in 1984, that's another, there had to be another way to do that.
Oh, I forgot Patrick Stewart was in that movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I'm like, oh, God, it's Gertie. It's Patrick Stewart. Why is there a pug? What is the deal with the pug? I don't understand.
I know, and he didn't even put it down so we'd know if it was going to be a Bones Day.
I know, I'm very confused. Like, there was the pug, the Harkonnens had that poor cat that they were milking with a rat tied to it. It was very... The animal choices were very weird. Because Lynch, I guess?
Because Lynch, I think the cat and rat thing would be a Lynchy weirdness.
It's
with the wires.
It was a weird thing. I don't know.
Apparently, Rob had read that that role is what got Patrick Stewart the Star Trek.
Oh,
role
interesting.
Role of Captain Picard having...
Hooray! Because...
Well, I mean,
good
it
job.
Wasn't for Shakespeare, right? Like...
No, like we said, okay, it was cutting edge for 84. It's just nowadays, you look at it and you're like,
Soundtrack.
Oh, the sound. Yeah, that was another wow, it sounds so cheesy now. In 1984, heavy metal rock and roll that you would put in sci-fi. And
yeah,
we don't do it that way anymore.
I was not expecting Asia to have been, like, responsible for the soundtrack. And I'm just like, okay, that explains some of the weird, like, electric guitar riffs, like, at, like, what I'm assuming are supposed to be, like, inspiring high points. Or he's, like, on top of the sandworm, and you're just like,
right? Is there, like, a chick in a bikini gonna show up and start rolling around on the sandworms? That was, yeah.
Oh, man.
It was weird.
There
the
were
shields,
choices.
I can't get over how, like, it looks like Minecraft.
You're not wrong.
It's like, this is how you fight in Dune. Like, only the gentry has, you know, Steve on their side for Minecraft.
There were some choices made. And, like... Now I have to try and find the documentary of the Argentinian director that wanted to do Dune, but his was going to be like, they finally like took it away from him because he was already so massively over budget and over time. Mm. And I think that's how David Lynch got it. The studio was just like, here, do this, just make sure it's not more than like 2 hours. That's
yeah,
all we want.
Another thing that was very heavily relied on in the old one and. The new one, not at all, was the whole voice, the sonic weapon situation, being their edge. I mean, is it going to come into play later? Because, like, the voice is a thing, but that's in the metaphysical realm with the women. And then it's a big deal that, you know, the chosen one can use it. But that whole thing about... The weapon they were developing and the Emperor coming after them for it, knowing it would be their downfall, and then training, you know, the Fremen to use that was a really big deal in the old one, and I don't remember even a mention of it in the new one. And yeah, they haven't gotten to a lot of that story yet with the Fremen, but... To not even mention that weapon, I mean, that's kind of a big deal.
I honestly don't really remember it that well from the book, because I read the book in, like, 1999 or something.
I still haven't read the book.
I have not reread it. I wanted to... We couldn't find... Like, Scott has, like, five or seven of the Dune books. Mm-hmm. And I haven't read any of the others. I just read the first one. And we couldn't even find where we had put it for me to reread it to get to this point. So I'm trying to remember.
It's like the weirding module.
If you can't find it, we have a copy of Dune if you want to read it.
I have a copy.
Again. Yeah, it's just... I know he's teaching them, like, new ways to fight and, like, combining the technologies. I don't specifically remember if it's, like, the sonic voice weapons.
Okay.
But, again, that's...
It was apparently a Lynch thing. So there's
okay,
another Lynch
yeah,
thing.
I'm like,
so that's
going to
make
really
how this plays out in the new one completely different. Yeah, I found an article here. I will put it in our show notes. In David Lynch's Dune movie, the weirding module is a sonic beam weapon that translates certain specific sounds into attacks of varying potency. These devices are not present in the original novels by Frank Herbert.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better because I'm like,
Yeah, because again, I don't remember it from the mini series, and I feel like they could have used that because it was a mini series. They would have the time to go into that, and I don't remember that. And I think as a music nerd, I would have remembered a sonic weapon. Just saying.
Well, yeah, and in the Lynch movie, it's a whole kind of plot point about. Well, I mean, not a major plot point, but Paul realizing his name. Yeah. Was like a killing word, and
yeah. All right.
Originally in the novel, he did have that line, though.
Yes, I do remember the line.
Yeah, but it referenced the Holy War beginning in Paul's name.
It was also, like...
But then Lynch made it literal. No way. That seems on point.
And it'll probably come across, like, it might come across better later on, but, like, this, because, like... It sets it up kind of like Magic White Boy story, and it's really not, because Magic White Boy story was like all the rage when Frank Herbert was writing this. It's actually supposed to be like, oh no, I'm not a Magic White Boy here to save and give my gift to these wild men Fremen. No, I'm actually about to be a being of death and destruction trapped by my own fate here. Mm-hmm. Oh, crap. I hope we get more of that in the second. We probably will, because I'll be more Chani and Fremen and focusing on that.
I know a lot of people see it as also a, like, the downfall of capitalism being his role as a savior. So, I mean, I don't know if that's because none of them also have read the books, but I've seen a lot of that kind of talk going around.
I don't really.
Because it's all just this big greed war.
Yeah, it's this big greed war. It's a... And spice is needed, basically, in order for space travel to function.
And they are ruining the planet and displace the natives.
Yeah. It gets you high and makes you live longer, and you see weird things. So, of course, everybody wants it. We want it legally for the traveling thing, but, you know... I think, like... I can't remember if it's... But I thought, like, the Harkonnens were also, like, not enough to be blue-eyed yet, but, like, pretty regularly tapping that vein to get their own buzz off it.
Well, I think mostly the aristocrats and,
yeah,
like, with the Baron and all his side effects. And by the way, the guy who was the Baron in the old one was one of the few good actors in the movie. Like, he was convincingly a lunatic.
In the 84 movie?
In the 84 movie.
Yeah, we're talking about the 84 movie. Yeah. Also the but for this particular moment, yeah.
I'm about to say the Baron has always kind of been like the best. The yeah. thing that I most remember, because you're supposed to. They're this horrible, grotesque thing. And they actually, in all the movies, they've tamed him down, which is good. Because he's way grosser in the books.
Yeah, I just remember in the mini series, he has this little flying thing that he's on all the time, and yep. there's the point where he has or he's questioning the Paul's father, and I don't know if he does this in the other movie or not, but he basically has a cyanide tooth that he he
yep.
cracks and then kind of puffs the air in the guy's face. And he's, like, literally on this flying thing, like, freaking the hell out because he's like...
Oh, no, it's great in the new movie that happens. That scene is very intense because
it is.
You know it's coming. And he's, like a spider, just...
Yeah. And yeah, the
they
difference...
come back to him, and he's in the corner of the roof, like, gasping and cuddled, like... like just curled up on himself trying to survive.
Yeah, the difference in the 84 Baron being outrageous lunatic, like he was just gross, But in the new film, it's more way edging toward horror. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's grotesque in a different, horrific, blood bathing in blood way rather than just being this ranting lunatic, you know, enjoying ripping out heart plugs, you know, yep. to feed his whims.
And we did not get, is it Wraith? In 1984, he was portrayed by Sting. He has not shown up. That character has not shown up yet in the new movie.
Yeah.
So that will be a thing for the second part.
I'm curious.
Excited to see.
Sting looked really good.
Oh, that codpiece thing. The weird underwear.
Oh, right. It's such a Flash Gordon era costume.
Like, I kind of want to draw it, just because.
The shoulder pads, yes!
I don't need shoulder pads, I got guns! Ching!
And they had that creepy, Paul's sister, little sister.
Oh, God, she's so freak. She's so a freak. Creepy. Like, she is terrifying, and the David Lynch movie gets that across very clearly. It does, literally an old soul in a child's body, like. It is a monstrosity thing that is terrifying, and oh god, I can't wait for her to show up.
Now,
more just unsettling in the miniseries, like
yeah,
more like she becomes super crazy when she's older, but in the miniseries as a child, she's just like she has very old eyes, and she does things that everybody is just kind of like. Excuse you, can you go be a creepy child somewhere else?
Oh, her voice in the 84 is just so good. Yes, it's like this creepy old voice coming out of this tiny child.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love it. It's so
ridiculous. In the last shot you see of her, she's holding what looks like one of those knives, I forget the name of them, that they kind of make a bigger deal of in the new one, too. That I don't know is if that's from the book.
Yes, the Chris knives are a thing.
Yeah. They don't even mention them in the 84, but then they show up.
Yep. The 84 does a really weird job of explaining things that you really don't necessarily need or want to be explained.
Right, like, and then leaves out stuff then, you kind of are going to need to know later.
Yeah, you're not explaining anything else.
So there's an intro in the very beginning of the movie where... That woman is eventually going to be Paul's wife. It's the granddaughter of the emperor, and they're going to get married for, you know, reasons to solidify, blah, 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 crap. Political. But she only appears as the narrator in the very first part of the movie, and she's talking about the stuff, and it fades out, and then she goes, oh, wait, I forgot, and it fades back and it pulls her back, and it's such a jarring moment.
And then you don't see her again until the last freaking shot in the film for a few minutes.
Well, at least in the miniseries, she was a through line.
Yeah.
Like in the miniseries, every single episode was started by her narration.
Yeah, and that was fine.
I still remember the beginning of her narration because it's the same every time. It begins the same. She starts by saying Arrakis, Dune, and then goes on, and I'm just like, "Hello."
It's just the oh wait, I forgot.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Like, was that a director choice, or was that you missing the last? Two paragraphs of the thing that you were reading.
Maybe it was a reshoot when they switched directors.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just a really weird thing. Because the camera is panning out and it cans back in.
Yeah.
And light comes back up on her face when she goes, I forgot! And I'm like, what?
It was also serious narration and then, yeah.
Yes! Just this very weird, jarring tonal shift, which I guess in a way prepares you for that throughout the movie. Oh.
Certainly enjoyable, though.
Oh, yeah, no, I do recommend, watching it, because it is cheesy good.
And then you can compare it to the new one, which is big and bombastic and...
And actually,
it's definitely two sides of a coin. Especially even
which is
like
remarkable
just the...
because the story beats are the major ones are all the same.
Yeah. But yeah, just the way they go about executing and showing certain things and omitting others, and it's very interesting. Like I love the soundtrack of the new one because it's much more space opera.
Yeah.
Like, it's which just... is, you know, kind of what you're expecting. I can't remember the soundtrack for the miniseries. I'm sure it was sci-fi, so I'm sure it was appropriate.
Let me see if you have any notes on that.
I'm sure we could find it.
You know me, music nerd. I like music.
Performed by Prague Philharmonic Orchestra, so that sounds good.
That sounds about right.
Graham Revell was the composer. So to me, that immediately sounds a lot more, yeah, orchestra, as opposed to... Also, it was the 80s, so, like, there was an unhealthy obsession with neon and electric guitar. I will confess to this. So admittedly, most of my memories of that time are fuzzy up until we get, like, late 80s. And hammer pants. As far as the eye can see.
Look, I know for a fact because my parents listened to a lot of Mannheim Steamroller.
Yes.
That the 80s was full of
synth, man. That was the big thing.
Well, yeah.
Like,
the new wave.
I'm all
love my new
over
wave.
It. I mean, I was huge, huge Depeche Mode fan.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To me, the evolution of the synthesizer was a really great thing that happened because it allowed people who had that music in their head, so many talented people who just didn't have a way to get it out, to find ways to get it out to us. Without
My
having to learn
parents.
All of the instruments.
My poor parents bought me a very nice keyboard synthesizer. So you had like, you could have background like reggae beats or rumba beats or and the one thing I remember enjoying the most was the whoosh sound. You would have whoosh, 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 whoosh. They had like all different tones and I just spent hours making whoosh sounds. And I'm like and
I
now
like
I'm like, voices. Oh, I was a weeb before I knew what being a weeb was, even then. It's just anime like whoosh sounds.
Yeah, find
but
out where
no,
the
I still recommend
streaming.
The movies. I still like the book. It definitely goes into a lot more. I am the first to admit that I have forgotten a lot about the book. And I will read it again. The 84 film definitely has its place, because it does go over Dune. Just Dune. It gets it from beginning to end. You're not going to understand a lot of like what's going on, necessarily, because it's again, weird about what it wants to explain and about what it doesn't. The new one definitely explains the first half of the book and is almost directly like the first half of the book. So it is part one. Part two is coming. They did get approved. I will give them my money as soon as I can.
Now, apparently, here's another thing I just learned. The studio edited Lynch's version so heavily that he has disavowed it.
Yeah. Supposedly, I'm trying to remember if it was there was a TV version of it made that was edited by a different director, and I'm not sure if it was the Argentinian one.
And there is apparently nowhere to stream the miniseries right now.
Yeah, no.
That sucks.
Which I haven't been able to rewatch that since it was aired on sci-fi forever ago.
You think they washed it down on purpose?
I think I've watched clips. I have watched clips on YouTube, mm-hmm. but I have not seen like even the untitled episodes to not get hit by the bam hammer. That, you know, sometimes you find on YouTube.
Yep.
So that I will admit that has also been a one that I haven't thought of in a very long time.
But you can watch Children
of
Dune
goes into
on Hoopla.
Children of Dune too, right?
Hoopla?
Hoopla.
Okay. Yeah, because that goes into the second and third novels as well. The miniseries.
Yeah, it does Dune, Children of Dune, and then...
Dune Messiah.
Dune Messiah. It stopped there. It did the first three, and then I think it stopped. Because they get weird after that. Weirder.
They continue to get weird. Like, Dune is great. Dune is a good read. Dune is weird. And there are some things that... I'm just going to say it. The Baron gets really weird and really gross. And he might need a trigger warning in this day and age. Because
yeah.
It gross.
Yeah.
I want to watch this documentary. Jodorowsky's
yes.
Dune. Yeah. That sounds really, really interesting. So there's a documentary out there about this version that never happened. But... apparently it was being made by Alejandro Jodorowsky, and it might have starred Orson Welles as the Baron. Art designed by Mobius and H.R. Geiger. Geiger. Mm-hmm. Sorry, oh. I understand I've been mispronouncing it. We all have. But apparently it was going to be like 14 hours long.
Yeah. No, they took it away from him. They're like, no, stop this.
Right. Wow. Then what would the fanboys complain about? There couldn't possibly be anything left for them to complain about if it's 14 hours long. Like, Wheel of Time is getting the beating for that right now.
I did see, like, clips from that documentary, and it did look really, like, the art design that they had, of course, looked amazing. Like, at one point, they wanted... to illustrate the transportation of space, there was going to be like an alien mouth, but it's Geiger, so all you really see is like the alien mother, and her mouth opens, and out comes like the ship. So in my head, it's just instead of the tongue with the little face on the end,
just
our ship. I was just like, oh wow! I definitely kind of I understand why this didn't happen, but I kind of want to watch what I can.
Yeah. So, I want to see the miniseries, but I hope it just comes back streaming at some point, because I'm not paying $90 for it.
No.
$90? No.
Yeah, it's like 86 something on Amazon. You can buy the DVDs. For, what, Boy. 3-episode miniseries? No, that's not happening.
Nope. But, yeah, Dune.
Dune, it's weird.
It's weird. It'll turn some tropes on its head, and it's fun and weird. Food theory, YouTuber MatPat does actually just in episode trying to figure out what the real world equivalent to spice would be.
Coke.
It'd be a spice melange. It's a weird. It is a weird episode.
Such a stupid word to use there. Like, oh, it's a spice blend. So,
yes.
Curry? Like, but I've seen the great memes. It was like, oh, surprise plot twist. White men can't get along when they find a planet full of cocaine.
But if you want more humorous Dune, I do recommend starting with that, because that was just kind of a funny little haha. And of course, everybody has their own take on the new movie.
I think it's great.
I like both. I'm excited for the second part.
Yes.
I will read it again. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, I think I'm going to read it before the next one comes out, is my plan.
Yep.
So I
wonder how many people are getting Dune for the book for Christmas.
You just get the box set. Get all the books. Well... 6 or 7 of the books. You get some bunch of books.
I still would recommend the first 3 and then maybe stop.
So feel free to chime in and let us know your opinions on Dune. You can email us at geekgirls@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at geekgirls. And what are you girls most anticipating right now?
Oh, I'm anticipating this winter market. There's been some confusion about pay links to you know, get my vendor spot. Like, I put in the request to be in there, and they said, yes, you're in. We'll send you a pay link. Never got the pay link.
Oh, no.
But it was over the holiday, so I think just something, wires got crossed. So I emailed her, the lady in charge, and today she was like, a lot of vendors didn't get the pay link. It should be available now. And I looked when I got home, and it's not. I don't know where it is.
Oh, no.
So I had to email her again and be like, I don't see it. Take my money. I want to be at this thing. Don't give away my spot.
I am serious. But SRS.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm just, you know, as somebody who deals with, like, MomoCon, and you are registered and they take your money 6 months beforehand.
Right.
Yeah. There is a system. They stick with the system.
But I like doing the market, so, you know, I'm just trying to go with the flow.
What about you, Ember?
I am trying to figure out how and if to make room for a tree. I always want to have a tree, especially because we have our solstice tradition of putting our wedding ornaments on it and everything. But we got this new armchair, and the dog crate is now in the living room because of the space we needed to make for the streaming, the live music, for the stupid pandemic that we don't even do anymore. And I don't have anywhere for my tree, so I'm kind of stressing about that. I don't know what to do. I'm looking forward to the Tadpool Santa. The Tadpool has a gift exchange thing, and I went ahead and signed up. And I'm super excited. I got that Villainous game, Disney game. For last year's, somebody sent it to me, which was super awesome. Because like the year before, I got nothing. Not sure what happened. I was just like orphaned. Sometimes it happens, and then they're, you know, like, if you got orphaned, let us know. We'll try to meet you with somebody reliable or whatever. And I didn't feel bad. I did go ahead and check the box saying I would not ship outside the U.S. Because, like, the first year I did it, I got someone in Australia.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That was a big chunk of money I wasn't counting on. But, you know, I made it go. I have to come up with Christmas ideas for my husband. He's being completely uncooperative. I don't know. I can't think of anything. I'm like, oh, my God, your Amazon list is empty. But we've had a good year of, like, bonuses and this and that, and our birthdays were in September, and we've had, you know, enough to buy what he wants when he wants it. He's got all the filament for his printer. He bought his printer this year with a bonus. I got him his loop pedal for his birthday. Like, there's nothing. I got him his purse. Like, there's nothing he wants now. So,
well, you like doing like art classes together, right? So why don't you find some sort of experience, like either another pottery?
I know,
class,
and I keep doing those too. I don't know anymore.
Well, do something different. Like, you've done painting, you've done mm-hmm. pottery. What's mm-hmm. something else?
I don't know. I'm gonna look and see if I can find maybe a leatherworking class, because I bet he would really like that. And I haven't seen anything like that around here, and he can't think of anything for me. He's like, oh, I'll go to TJ Maxx and Hot Topic the day before, like I usually do.
It's like, thanks, guy.
So thoughtful. He does pretty good, though. I mean, he knows my taste, so, but I would like a little thought. A little thought would be nice. Like, oh my God. And the Jen's birthday is December 5th. So we will not be having another show before then. So I'm going to say happy birthday to the Jen, one of
happy
our original
Jen.
Grills.
Birthday.
Happy birthday. And I should mail her a card or something. At least, I don't know. What do you get somebody who lives in Vegas? I'm sure I'll find something. What about you, Ray?
Let's see. We've got the Atomic Youth game tomorrow that we're recording, where our characters are going to talk with Divis Small, who's a big freaking deal in Aberrant, so that'll be fun. That'll be great. That'll be they'll be perfectly fine. Oh gosh. And then later on Sunday we have our all girls game, which I'm super excited about. My character is going to shove her foot deep in her mouth and have a moment of gay panic, and I'm looking forward to it. Because the last game, she saw a Nova that basically appears as whatever you most desire, like whatever you think is most beautiful or enticing. And she wants to ask one of the other PCs, like, is that your sister? Because she looks an awful lot like you. Not comprehending that... Oh, wait, what? What do you mean it's not your sister? What do you mean that's part of her power? Oh, God. But I hate you. How can I like you? I hate you! I'm so excited about this.
Character right moments.
I love character moments like that. They make me so excited. And then just getting ready for Gods and Winterfest. I want to try and make a mask to match my costumes. So, like, I want to try and do, like, a snake pattern one for Crowley and, I guess, see what fits for whatever and...
Yeah. I may do something generically Christmas for the second day, because mm-hmm. I have a Christmas mask. I guess I should go find, like, a mask with feathers on it or something for Aziraphale.
Yeah, because I was like, I could always just do the Santa outfit. Doesn't necessarily have to be Asuka. It's very... flowy, so it's not like it's never gonna fit. Like, I literally got that dress commissioned in the 2000s. It's a stretchy velvet. The only difference is it's a lot shorter now. That's fine.
Tights will fix that.
Shorts will fix that.
Shorts or tights, whichever.
So a reminder, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/grills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be on December 13th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we will be talking about To Be Announced, as we haven't actually had the meeting yet to figure out what we're talking about. But you can come and see us in all our glory and weird facial expressions. That's me, mostly me. And
you want to do the next one, Ember?
Sure. In addition to the subs and bits, we get on Twitch at twitch.tv/geekgrills, by the way. And, just grills is for the Patreon. Gotcha. We're supported by our amazing Patreons, and that is at patreon.com/grills. Don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. You can check out what topics we're going to do when we decide them down below on our Twitch page. And if you're a patron, you can always suggest topics for us. We would love to hear your ideas. We'd love to have a patron, like, a patron...
idea.
Give us our ideas!
Yeah, we haven't had one in a while.
Yeah.
Also... I do believe at some point in one of our three December shows, I'm not sure which one, we will be having on Mrs. Claus.
Yay! A vast special guest.
She's got to work around with her schedule. Ooh, maybe we can get... Yay! Maybe we can get Mr. too. I'll work on it.
I'll bring the eggnog for that episode.
Cool. You have surprise, the Halloween fairy is friends with Mr. and Mrs. Claus. Cool. My God, I live in Nightmare Before Christmas. That's all right.
You do.
Yay.
And where can we find you all on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's MISC. And you can check out my website at www.madcapm.com. I don't know why my voice went weird there for a second. I apologize.
Because no one says WWW anymore.
I guess.
So you had to say it ironically, apparently.
You had to say it weirdly.
It's a very 90s thing.
Yes.
I can be reached at 9 of 12. That's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. How about you, Ray?
You can find me on Instagram under Dappledame. I try and do a piece a week. And on Twitch, as Ray Aino, I am 24 hours away from having to pull something out of my butt for a stream for that. So we'll figure it out. It's like a once a month stream. I'm sorry.
It's more than I'm getting.
Well, thank you for listening, everyone, and good game. GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.